Southern born and Westgate family. How we all doing this morning? How we all doing this morning? Y'all ready to worship? Come on. On this Father's Day, happy Father's Day.
Be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. So let it rise, let praise arise.
Come on.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. And let it rise. Let praise arise. Let it rise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh,
this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
Serve the God of breakthroughs that conquers fear, that conquers anxiety, depression, pain in your life. We serve the God of breakthroughs, and we get to worship him this morning and to sit at his feet and enjoy his presence. So my name is Kendra Sankovich. I'm really glad to be here today. I'm the Spiritual Growth Director. If I haven't met you before, I would love to meet you. If you're new around here, take your Connect card, which can be found in your pews or online, and you can submit that either online or to our lobby there. We have a guest center with a poster that says new here, and they'd love to give you a gift and welcome you. We also have online and at our entrances our sermon notes that you can grab or print off and have those available to follow along with our message today. For Father's Day, we want to honor all of the adult men in our congregation. And so for our people that are here in service, sorry, online people, we don't deliver to you. But for those of you who are here in the atrium after service today, we have root beer floats for you, if you didn't see them already. So men, feel free to stop by out there for our Father's Day treat. Next Sunday, we have our outdoor service and church picnic. So when you come to our next Sunday, the service is going to be outside in the parking lot over here. And bring chairs if you're able to. If you're not, we'll have some that we can help you out with. And we're going to worship together outdoors, kids through adults. So there's no student ministry or kids ministry next Sunday. We're going to be all together outside. And then after the service, we're going to head over to our grassy area for a picnic where the church is going to provide the food. We're going to have pork and hamburgers and hot dogs and your traditional picnic food. And we're going to have yard games to play for the kids. We'll have inflatables. And this is going to be just a fun time to spend time together as a church family and also with those that we're inviting. We want people to invite their friends, their neighbors, their family workers, co-workers. Yeah, you know what I mean. There's invites at the different entrances that you can grab and invite people to come along with you. This is going to be a fun, casual picnic. We want people to be a part of our outdoor festivities next week. So pray about who God wants you to bring along with you. Today we have a special thing where we get to welcome our new members. So I'm going to invite our new members to come up who are being recognized today, along with any staff or elders who are in the room. You can come up and we'll be praying for our new members. Welcome them up. So these new members have gone through our membership process, and the first step in that process is going to our membership class for 4 weeks, which they just did, and we'll be offering one again in the fall that you can come check out and learn more about membership. And so during this class, we talked through Westgate Chapel one-on-one. What is Westgate? What is the church history? We talked about our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, and we went line by line through our statement of faith, discussing what we believe as a church and a denomination. We also talked about what is church membership? Why does Westgate even have church membership? And those are great questions, and we spent a long time going through those, and I'll give you the very, very brief 15-second-ish version of that, because that is a question that I do hear a lot. Why do we have membership? So what is church membership? Church membership is a formal relationship between the church and the members, where the church is saying to the member, we recognize you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we are committed to discipling you and sharing life with you as a member of this local church family. And then the member is saying to the church, I recognize you as a faithful, gospel-declaring church, and now I am committing to growing as a disciple and partnering with you as a member of your church family. So church membership is all about the church taking specific responsibilities for the members and the members taking responsibilities for the church. Why do we have church membership? First of all, that's kind of how we're structured, where the congregation gets to vote and we have annual elections. And it would make sense that in order to vote in the election, we need people to be official members so we know that they're committed, that they have vested interest in the church. So that's one reason. Another reason is for any leadership positions or teaching positions here at Westgate, it would make sense that we've talked about theology and made sure that we're all on the same page before we put you in a leadership or a teaching position. So those are just some of the reasons why we have membership. And again, we'd love for you to come learn more about it this coming fall when we have our class. So I'm going to have these lovely people introduce themselves to you. These are such amazing people, guys. I hope you get to know them. They're delightful. They're already getting involved in serving, whether that be an adult ministry, kids ministry, sound booth. They're getting involved. And if you hear their testimonies of their journey of how they've come to know Jesus, is powerful. So I encourage you to talk with them and learn more of their story.
Hello, we are Jose and Rebecca Lizardo. We've been attending for about 4 months.
We're the Knoxes. I'm Jeremiah. This is my wife, Sarah, our son, Isaiah, Zachary, and then our daughter, Zoe. And we've been coming since about October.
I'm Ashley Lorgan, and I've been coming to Westgate for about a year.
Good morning. My name's Ned Lewis, and I've been attending 8 or 9 years.
Hello, my name is Barbara McRae, and I've been here 7 weeks.
Well, you know, it has been a pleasure to begin to get to know each of you. And I know Kendra has really enjoyed that opportunity in the class, not just to get to know you as a person, but hear your testimony and just how God has been working in your life. And I think the exciting part for us as you join a membership today is truly just the way that you're already getting involved in the life of our church, whether that be in relationship with others or also in how you're serving and actively using the giftedness that God has given you. And so we're thankful for this opportunity this morning to welcome you and invite you into membership with us. I have a small statement that I'd like to read, just a charge, if you will, as we welcome you into membership this morning. Because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and because it's your desire to be members here at Westgate Chapel, will you commit yourself to serve Christ faithfully as a member of this church family? Will you personally seek to grow in your relationship with the Lord through the daily study of God's Word and also through prayer? Will you commit to actively engage with other members of this church family through regular church attendance and by developing close-knit community where you are growing alongside of others? Will you commit to utilizing your God-given time, talent, and treasure for the purposes of serving the Lord in our church, in our community, and in His worldwide mission of reaching the lost? And will you submit yourself to the pastors and elders of this church that God has given authority to serve as overseers and shepherds? If you'll commit yourselves to these things, please say, I will. I will. Awesome. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again so much for the time that we have to gather together here this morning to worship you. And I thank you for each of these individuals this morning who are making their declaration that, Lord, they recognize this is the church and the place that you have planted them. A place, Father, where you desire to grow them in deeper intimacy with you. A place where, Father, you desire to continue to develop their giftedness and, Father, to use it to not only help other peoples to grow, but in such a way, Father, that it would also lead others to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this. And I pray, Lord, that in the coming days, weeks, and months, that, Lord, you would help each of these individuals just to continue to develop that sense of family and community here at Westgate Chapel. But also, Father, that you would be using them to make an impact in the lives of others and for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for each of them. And we bless you and bless your name this morning. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Again, would you welcome them this morning as they join us in membership? Thank you.
breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives.
God is a miracle worker. Do you believe that? Do you believe He's here with us right now? Do you believe He is here in this place, in the midst of our lives? Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You.
That
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise.
darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you.
Worship you.
I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. What he wants to do. I worship you. I worship you.
Turning lives around.
You are here. Turning lives around. I worship you.
Oh God.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here. Mending every heart. I worship you.
Sing it out, church. Come on. How many of y'all are glad to be here worshiping together? I know we've done this song a bunch. When we sing those words together, do you realize the power that that has, the power that we are given when we declare something in unity like that? As one body, do you realize how rare this is? People who don't know Jesus think this is really weird. They do. I think this is so, it's like a little kooky, guys. Y'all are singing the same thing together all the time, and it's just a little weird. But the reality is we know why we do it, right? Because we sing songs like this. Man, it crushes the enemy. It crushes him, yeah. We look out here and we see this broken, dark world around us, guys. We sing a song like this and we mean these words. We believe these words. We declare these words together. Satan trembles. God tells us throughout Scripture, when we declare our love and our praise for Him, that's what the enemy hates more than anything. He wants you to think that God is not bigger than these absurd gas prices, than inflation, than whatever political leaders in office. He wants you to think that he is not bigger than what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. Satan says, no, God isn't bigger than that. God isn't bigger than death and loss. God isn't bigger than what's going on in your life. God isn't bigger than that. No. That's what the enemy's telling us every day, right? Every day. But every single day, every single day, God shows us he is so much bigger than that. Right? God is bigger. He is more powerful. He is stronger. He is a miracle worker. He is the way maker. He's the one who proves to us time and time again that no matter what, he overcomes. He is the overcomer. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's my God. That's who my God is. That's who your God is, right? So as we sing these words together, guys, this is a declaration. We don't do this just to show up and check it off our list for the week. We do this as a declaration, as one body that says, when we go outside these walls, we genuinely believe this. We are going to show this lost and broken world why what we do in here really isn't that weird at all. It's that we believe this together. We are in unison. Let's sing this together. Sing it out.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop.
Come on.
Never stop, you never stop.
Sing it out.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
That's right. May not always feel like it, but he is there. Yes.
Never stop.
God, that you pick us up and carry us when we can't go on ourselves, God, that you overcome what we can't, which is everything, God. We would be nothing without you. You are everything, God, Father. And I pray that these words, God, maybe there, I know there are people in here that are hurting because we're people. I pray that you would make these times, God, when we know you truly are working, God, we know that, we believe that. I pray that you'd make us more aware and make us more aware of your presence in our lives. And heal those who are hurting, heal those who are broken, bring healing, Father. We know that's what you want to do. That is what you seek to do. I pray that you guide us and direct us, Father, so that the people outside these walls, maybe people in them today, Father, that they would come to know you as their personal Savior, because that's it. That's all. That's everything. That's everything. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that all God's people pray. Amen.
Would you thank the worship team for leading us again this morning? And I am just thankful for their giftedness that they use and allow God to use every single week in leading us. Welcome. If you don't know me, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and I'm just thankful that you have chosen to worship with us today. Again, also welcome to those that are at home online worshiping with us today. Just trust that this morning has been a good time, a sweet worship for you so far, and hopefully we'll continue as we get into God's Word. Also, again, happy Father's Day. Fathers, we are thankful for you. And again, at the end of the service today, don't forget to stop by and get some ice cream and root beer. If you don't like that, just give it to your kids. I'm sure they'll enjoy it as well. But I just want to make sure I don't have to eat it all week long. So anyway, we're thankful for you this morning. Hey, one thing that we're excited about and celebrating is we have just come off of an incredible week of Vacation Bible School. And let me tell you something. It was such a blessing, because to see over 150, I believe, volunteers here from our own church that were willing to invest their time in this week in reaching not only kids within our church, but especially within our community. It was exciting to see this year how our efforts in reaching out really yielded a lot of people that don't go to church and families that don't have churches to be here in this building, many children getting the opportunity to hear God's word and the gospel proclaimed. And we want to give you just a little bit of a taste this morning of what that was like this week. So go ahead and watch this short video.
Marlena Burrow. I'm the Kids Ministry Director here at Westgate Chapel. This week, we have had a whole week with 250 kids playing large group games, hiding God's word in their heart, and doing all kinds of creative heart experiences. This year's theme was all about how we were created, designed, and empowered to do God's work. Thank you so much to all of those that were involved this year making VBS 2022 happen. We can't wait to do it again next year.
Oh, yes, what a great week. And what you saw there, all of the kids, I believe, were waiting all week to see me get slimed, which did happen, although just so you know, that slime was a very tasty banana pudding. So I did get to enjoy it somewhat. I think it wasn't as bad getting slimed with that stuff. What was worse was the cold shower out with the hose afterwards. That was miserable. But it was a fantastic week, and the reason that I got slimed is because our kids all week were doing something we call Penny Wars. Every year with VBS, we have Penny Wars between our teams, and the kids are bringing their loose change to raise money for a missions project, and we're trying to teach kids at a young age about the importance of missions. And this year they were raising funds for one of our international partners, Mal and Janet Abaya. For those of you that don't know the Abayas, they began here at Westgate a number of years ago, actually as international students in the community, and were sent out eventually by Westgate Chapel. They currently serve in Nigeria, have an incredible ministry that is there. One of the primary ministries that they do is an evangelism training school, where they are training Muslim background believers to go out into their villages and continue to share the gospel with family and friends. As you have heard updates over the years, the ministry that they have is a dangerous one. They just recently went back to Nigeria. It is very dangerous for Christians living there with the Muslims and extremism that is there, but they continue to faithfully serve the Lord and to share the good news of the gospel, and because of their faithfulness, they are consistently seeing fruit of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But our kids were raising funds to help raise money for something called a portable Bible clubs that they do, and they basically take these small kind of little VBS things out into different communities to reach young people and also family units with the gospel. And so our children, super excited to say, brought in $2,897 worth of change. Yeah, it was great. Fantastic. And I believe $1,200 of that came in the last day, which was exciting. The buckets we had were overflowing. And so we're excited about what God is going to do through those funds and the way that the kids got to be a part of that. I just to continue to ask you to pray. You know, as we moved up towards VBS, we asked you to pray as we reach out to our community with the gospel, to pray that it would be an incredible week, that people would hear the message of the good news. And I would ask you to continue praying that God would continue to work that through not only the hearts of the kids, but in the lives of their families as they continue on. And so thank you again for your investment in this ministry this past week. Well, if you have your Bibles with us, I want to encourage you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to be in Psalm 1 together this morning. And if you have your sermon notes, hopefully you grabbed them on the way in. You can pull those out. If you're at home online, you can download those underneath the live stream link. And if you downloaded the Westgate Chapel app, the new app last week, you'll actually find that under the Sunday tab, you'll see that you can actually fill in your notes in the app. And it's just kind of a cool, handy-dandy little tool that is there. So open up to Psalm chapter 1, and if you pull out those notes, we're going to dive in together this morning. As you know, we've been going through a series together entitled Abide, and we're going to be spending the next number of weeks together looking at various spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. And we began this series taking a look together at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. And we used this as our basis to understand spiritual disciplines of reading God's word, of prayer, of worship, of serving, and on and on. Because one of the things that I think we commonly misunderstand about spiritual disciplines is we think these are just the things that we need to do as good Christian people, but really, God's word describes for us that each of these disciplines is the way in which we abide with Christ. And we're going to dig into that together just a little bit more this morning as we talk about the reading of God's word, the spiritual discipline of reading the Bible. Now, a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Has anybody ever been there before? Museum of the Bible, a handful of people. If you're ever in D.C. or you're like, hey, I want to plan a family vacation and you're going to head that direction, I would strongly encourage you to go check this place out. Probably one of my top favorite museums I have ever walked through. Of course, that's because I'm like a little bit of a Bible nerd, but I will tell you, it was incredible. They have so many interactive and immersive elements, ways in which they tell the story of the Bible from the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's really great for kids. I have found we took our kids when they were younger, got to see all of these displays that kind of tell the story of the Bible and the threads that run through it in a very creative way. But two of my most favorite parts of this museum. One is that there is a hall that is designed to tell the story of the validity and the accuracy of the Bible and its various manuscripts. And so they have, it's a room that's much larger than even this room that is just full of displays of the various manuscripts of the Bible dating to just years after the life of Christ all the way up to today. And there are all these nice little writings that kind of explain the story and how you know that it was translated correctly, and it's really cool. I could have spent hours in there. Of course, my wife and my little kids who were running crazy and like getting their hands on things they shouldn't, rushing me through, but it's okay. I tried to read as much of it as I could. It was great, but at the end of it was probably my favorite room of all. It was this room where you walked in. It was called Illuminations, and it had within it, and you'll see a picture up here on the screen, every single Bible translation that has ever been written in one room. And it was one of the most incredible things to behold. That picture you see up there is just one wall of many that kind of surrounded this long oval in every single language in which the Bible has ever been written. I thought it was one of the most incredible things to see. And then I think one of the things that was even more moving, because in that room are, I believe, if I'm correct on this number, it is over 1,500 different translations of the Bible in different languages, 1,525. But in the second room that you walk into, you'll see kind of in the bottom of that picture, there are also shelves with all of these yellow sleeves that don't have books in them. And it is just as big as the room that I was in previously with the translations, but each of these books on the shelves represent languages where the Bible has not yet been translated. It is one of the most moving things that I have ever experienced. One, to see just the incredible way in which God has taken and his word is going out to the nations, and yet to see how much work there still is to do for people to actually have God's word and to be able to read it. It was moving, but one of the things that I loved about going in here is it immediately brought to mind a childhood memory. I grew up in an Alliance church in Southern California, and there was a family, the Swift family, who were with Wycliffe Bible Translators and were supported by our church, and they worked with the Kakinta Indians in Peru, and they spent their life from the time I was a very young child until I believe when I was in early college, translating the New Testament into the Kakinta Indians language. And I can remember them coming back on their kind of assignments every couple of years to tell stories of the progress that they were making, to share pictures, and the excitement that was growing as the book would, the New Testament would come to completion in this new language. And when I was older, there was video and pictures of the celebration that they had in these jungle villages as they brought the New Testament for the very first time to these people where they could read it in their own language. And let me tell you, those are some parties like I have never seen before. The excitement and the hunger that people had to have God's word, to know God, was incredible. And I don't know if she put the last picture up, but Sherry, I went and found in that room, this was like, I think, just a few months after this Bible had been written, but in the very middle there is the Bible that was given, that New Testament, to the Kakinta Indians. It was powerful to see how that came to fruition and the response that it had from those who were hungering for it. I share that with you, though, because today it seems in the Christian life and in the Christian world, there isn't that same level of excitement and hunger. You know, there are times where it actually appears blends together. I want us to talk about what we can observe about Christian culture today when it comes to the reading of God's word and hungering for God's word. And as you'll hear this morning, truly hungering for fellowship with God. Some of the statistics that have been put out about the reading of God's word are this. There seems to be a lack of Bible reading by followers of Jesus Christ in our current culture today. That is your first fill in the blank. There seems to be a lack of Bible reading by followers of Jesus Christ. There are many different studies that have been done, but one of the statistics that stood out to me is this, is that it says 68% of Christians have only read just a few stories in the Bible all the way down to nothing at all. That's a staggering statistic to think about, 68% of Christians. Though, if that is true, that means that even in this room, we might find ourselves in that same position. There's other statistics that say that well over half of Christians today read the Bible only once a week or less, and that God's word doesn't take that same priority in their lives. When we think about that, though, and a lack of Bible reading, it leads us to another thing that we can observe in our culture today. Number two is this, is the incredible amount of biblical illiteracy that there is in the church. I've talked about this a number of times. It's one of the passions that I have. It's one of the reasons that I teach the way that I do, and I try to give a ton of notes, is because I recognize that when we aren't in God's word, and we don't know how to read it, and we don't know how to study it, it creates the problem we have in our culture today of biblical illiteracy. Albert Mohler is a person who shared some different statistics on this, and I've shared a couple of these in the past, but I want you to think about this and how we understand biblical illiteracy with within the church. Some of the studies that have been done show that fewer than half of adults can name the four Gospels in the New Testament. Studies also show that many Christians can't identify more than two or three of the 12 disciples. Studies will show that 60% of Christians can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. As well, 81% of Christians, you may have seen this in a video last week if you were here, 81% of Christians believe that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is in the Bible. Another one that I think is quite fun, 12% of Christians believe Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Try that one on. Woo! 50% believe Sodom and Gomorrah were a husband and wife. Many people believe that Billy Graham was the original preacher of the Sermon on the Mount. When you walk through this, like, we laugh, but I want you to think about this. This is the reality of the church in America. And I fault the church in America. I fault the church in America because I believe that a lack of biblical preaching has created what we experience today in this space. At times, we're more concerned with telling people how to live a good life or how they can experience the good life rather than taking time to talk about how to know God and have intimate fellowship with Him, because that's truly the thing that God desires from us. So a couple things we can observe. We can observe the lack of Bible reading. We can observe biblical literacy within the church. But third, we also will find biblical literacy. There are a lot of people in the church that know a lot about the Bible. But one of the problems at times that comes with that is that you may know a lot, but there is no life transformation that comes from it. I had a group of students for a number of years in Southern California when I was a youth pastor who they loved God's word. They would go to a Bible study every single Monday night with a gentleman in the church that was good at getting them deep into God's word, and they loved the knowledge of God's word. They knew more than most adults in our church at that time. It was actually astounding, and they would consistently try to stump me with their questions and the things that they knew, but one of the things that was one of the a deep concern in my heart is that though they knew a lot, I did not see life transformation coming from their study of God's word. They were some of the most unloving students in our group. They were some of the least forgiving students in our group. And the truth is that I see this in the church today, is that it can be very easy for us to know a lot about God's word and yet not allow it to sink in and actually transform our hearts to cause us to be the loving people that God has desired for us to be those who are going out and sharing the good news of Jesus with the world that surrounds us. All you need to do is to turn on social media and look and see even how Christians will interact with the world in that space. Oftentimes speaking in hateful tones and ways that don't tell of the love of God. And it points to us that there is a problem. But what I want you to see this morning as we make these observations is what we see is only a symptom of the real problem. It's only a symptom. You know, I was driving with my wife a week ago to a baseball tournament in Akron. A half hour outside of Akron, and it got so bad, I finally pulled over because what? It's a symptom that there's something wrong. And when we got out of the car, her uncle and I found that the tread was tearing away from the tire. And of course, we ended up stranded for quite a while. But the point is that the shaking of the vehicle was nothing more than a symptom of what the real problem was. And as we think about these things that we can observe in our culture today when it comes to Christians and the Christian life, they're merely a symptom of a much deeper root problem. And I believe that that problem is a lack of desire to abide with Christ in the Christian life. A lack of desire to truly abide with Christ. And I think that there are two reasons that it potentially exists. One is from a lack of understanding, especially when it comes to the reading of God's word, of its purpose within our lives. But number two, I also believe that it's a result of hearts that are divided between God and between the world. And this morning, as we talk about the spiritual discipline of reading God's word, I really want us to look at it through the lens of what we have been talking about from the beginning of this series, is understanding its root purpose in our lives, why it exists, And I think the best way for us to do that is to take a look together at Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look at just three verses together this morning. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to unpack what the psalmist says about the blessed life that all of us desire to have, but how it is achieved. And so take a look with me, if you will, at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And in all he does, he prospers." You know, it's interesting that as the psalmist begins, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked," and goes on, but he begins with, "Blessed is the man." One of the things that I think is intriguing is this, is that every human being longs for the same thing. Each of us, Christian or not, we long for blessing. And I want you to think about what blessing is for a moment. When we talk about the word blessing, especially in our culture today, the most basic definition of blessing is this: a lasting feeling of happiness or of good fortune. I believe that, you know, it's even tied up in the Declaration of Independence, right? What do we want? We want to have a pursuit of happiness. We want to have a complete fulfillment in this life. We want good fortune. And what's interesting about that is that we find that in this world today, by nature, we try to find all of that blessing in a multitude of places outside of God and his design for our lives. We try to find that fulfillment and that happiness or that good fortune in relationships with other people. We try to find that happiness or fulfillment in various experiences that we can have, you know, whether it's going on nice trips and experiencing things in this world that we think will bring us that ultimate fulfillment. I make that note because back in the time of Jesus, the word for blessing that we also see in the Sermon on the Mount is Makarios. Makarios was a word that was also associated with the island of Cyprus. Cyprus was one of those like tropical destinations. It's where people went to enjoy a good time, to enjoy those nice beaches. You were considered to be Makarios, blessed if you were to go there, right? We search after these types of experiences that will bring us that sense of happiness or fulfillment. We try to find blessing within wealth. We try to find it within success. We try to find it within an accumulation of material goods. And if you don't believe me when I say that, how many of you have ever moved and have seen the amount of stuff that you have amassed and tried to move it from one house to another, right? When Rochelle and I moved from California to Ohio, I'm telling you, man, the number of boxes that got packed up and put on a truck was incredible. But what was even more incredible is when we got here to realize how many of them we never actually opened up because we didn't need the stuff. We were just packing stuff we hadn't touched for such a long time, right? And so what do? What every good person does. When your stuff that you once loved and accumulated no longer has value, what do? A garage sale, where you sell that stuff that no longer brings you that same fulfillment that you once thought it would bring to you. We accumulate so many material things to find our fulfillment in this life. And we think that things are the thing that will make us happy. I remember I've told the story before when Garrett was a young boy, one of the things he desired, it was when we first moved here, was he wanted an electric scooter, like one of those little Razor electric scooters. And at Christmas time, we decided that we were going to get it for him. But I'm telling you, like, he would circle it in magazines and put it all over the house. Like, he wanted us to know that was the one thing that he wanted. And so, like every good parent does, we put all the gifts out under the tree except for one, and we let the kids open them, and they all open them, and at the end it wasn't there. And literally we said nothing. The look on his little tiny young boy face was so sad. Like, it was like, they don't love me. It's, you know. And what was great about it is I waited another 10 minutes before we gave it to him, just to kind of like keep egging it on, you know. And then I finally run upstairs. I pulled out of the bedroom. I'm coming down the staircase with it. And what does Garrett do is he's like, I'm coming down the stairs. He's coming this way. And he sees it in my hands. He literally falls to his knees. And he's got this like smile. But he begins to sob with excitement over this scooter that was there, right? And I mean, the joy and elation as he jumped on that thing and went whizzing down the street, it brought him so much happiness and fulfillment for about 2 weeks until it broke. Because as much as we try to find happiness and fulfillment in the things of this world, things break. They lose their luster. And when you think about it, we are constantly looking for the next thing that will give us that sense of fulfillment and blessing. And oftentimes we find ourselves lacking any sense of contentment. Have you ever thought about it? Why is it that no matter how hard we try, blessing seems so elusive? The answer is because mankind is cursed. This is your next fill-in. Mankind is cursed, which ultimately leads to a meaningless life. When we look in the Old Testament, we look in Genesis, it paints for us this picture of how mankind walked closely with God and experienced all of the blessing that he had designed for them. And when mankind decided to move outside of God's plan for their life, a curse was levied in which the entire world order would work against man, and man in his own strength would have to try to do what only God could do. And ultimately, we find every time we try to find meaning and fulfillment and happiness and blessing outside of God's plan and outside of fellowship and communion with him, it leads to meaninglessness. No matter how hard we try, this world cannot provide the sustained happiness and fulfillment and purpose and security that we all long for. And that is why the psalmist draws a comparison between the way of the world and those who follow God. In verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Now, some people believe that, like, maybe what the psalmist is doing is trying to give us these different tiers of, like, you know, sinfulness that we could walk into. You know, someone who walks in the way of the wicked, or, ooh, don't you dare stand in the way of sinners, or, ooh, if you sit in the seat of scoffers or mockers, that's really bad. That is not the point that this passage is making. The passage is making a point that the blessed man is not the man that allows himself to become ingrained in the ways of the world and looking for a life of fulfillment and blessing from it. Why is that? Because blessing in the Bible, blessing that comes from God, is defined very differently than our world. Blessing isn't a moving target that you chase. Blessing is a sense of fulfillment that isn't affected by circumstance. It is a gift that is given by God and God alone. And it can be experienced in every season of life, whether good or bad. But it comes from him. And so what's the secret to that blessing that lasts? Look at verse 2 with me. It says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Now, when I read this passage as a young boy, I remember thinking, okay, it's basically telling me that my job as a Christian is that I need to read God's word. And before you throw stones, I want to say this morning. The wrong answer to the question of what the secret of blessing that lasts is reading your Bible. In parentheses, an activity. So often in the Christian life, when we talk about reading the Bible, we think of it in terms of something that we need to do in order to gain favor with God, or somehow this makes us a good Christian, or just by a byproduct of sitting down and reading that somehow that will make us good in the eyes of the Lord. But when we think of reading God's word in that way, we miss the point of Scripture. And here's what I mean by that. Last night, Rochelle and I had the opportunity to go to our neighbor's house and spend some time sitting and talking with them, a young Christian couple that has moved into our neighborhood. They invited us over for some s'mores. And as we were talking, our neighbor began to talk about her own relationship with the Lord and just how she's been growing and reading God's word over this past year. And she said, you know, growing up in the church, like, I always just saw it as this like rote experience. It's the thing that you do 5 or 10 minutes a day, but it didn't seem like it had a lot of life to it. And I'm pretty sure as I describe that, that there are many people in this room that might even say like, yes, I've been there, or yes, I'm there now. Like, I've gone through that in my life where it felt like it was just the thing that you do. But she also began to explain to us how in this past year that as she has begun to understand the reading of God's word differently, it has completely transformed her time with the Lord. And I would say that that has been my experience, because the secret to a blessing in our lives and experiencing the blessing that God has for us isn't just in reading our Bible, but the right answer is this: it's delighting in God. Like, he says that the blessed person is the person that delights in the law of the Lord. In other words, the law of the Lord is God's word. It's God's way of communicating directly with his people. The right answer for us to experience the blessing that God has, that he has always intended for us, is to delight in him and in his word. What does it mean to delight in God? What does it mean for us to delight in his word? Have you ever loved something or someone so much that you would do anything to be with it? Do you have a hobby, something that you love to do, and you look like you would do anything to clear out your schedule to have time to do that thing? Have you had a relationship with a person where you would do anything you could to clear out your schedule in order to make time to spend together, to be together, because it was the thing that your heart longed for? It's this picture of delighting in something. The things that we delight in are the things that we make time for in our lives. And the secret to a blessing that lasts is having a hunger and a desire to delight with God and through his word. I think we see this as well in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says this, is the story of Jesus and Mary and Martha. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, Martha had so many things that were going on in her life, so many things that she was doing, that she was caught up in that. And she wanted to stop Mary from spending time with Jesus in order to tell her to jump into her busyness. Now, the things that Martha was doing weren't necessarily bad things. She was doing good things for her guests, for Jesus that was there in her home. But one of the things that I notice is that when Jesus looks at her, he reminds her that the most important thing isn't just filling up your life with activity, but the most important thing that we can do is to what? Abide with God. To spend time with him, to delight in him, to learn from him. And one of the problems that I see in our culture today is that rather than delighting in the Lord, and especially in his word, is that we have become experts in learning how to take just a very little and run on that for a week until we can come back again. For many Christians, the experience of their Christian life is simply to come to church on a Sunday morning to receive a small nugget or snack that they hope will last them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, till the next Sunday to keep going. And then we find ourselves wondering why it is that we don't find the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and the contentment that we so desire in this world. You see, what I want us to catch this morning is this, is that our primary source of spiritual feeding cannot come merely from someone else's experience with God and with his word. We must learn to interact with God's word and with him if we desire the fullness of life that he has designed for us to have. I want us to take just a moment to pause and to talk this morning about how it is that we can get more out of our time of abiding with God and with his word. Because one of the things that I have seen often in the Christian life is that people struggle with taking that step and getting to that place of making spending time in God's word a priority. And I want to address it in a couple of ways. The first thing that I want to draw out for us that I think is essential is this, is that we must make and guard daily our time with the Lord. And here's the reason that I point this out first and foremost. You know, as we have gone through, begun this series together and looked together in John 15, we've talked about abiding in Christ. Even this morning, as we talk about like the things that we treasure and the things that we desire the most, where we spend our time determines what is most important to us. I've heard many people over the years say, you know, I just don't read my Bible and I don't spend time there because I am too busy. I have too much going on. But what's so interesting to me is that we have time for so many other things that we choose to invest our time in. You know, what it does is it actually reveals to us the posture of our hearts. If we aren't willing to make margin in our daily time with the Lord, to have daily time with the Lord, what it actually reveals is that it lacks an importance to all of the other things that we stack up within our lives. You see, I believe it's the reason that the psalmist writes verses 1 and 2 the way that he does. He says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." There is a choice that we make every single day about that which we will make the most important. Is it the things of this world, or is it our communion and our fellowship with the living God? We must make and guard time daily with the Lord. Secondly, I believe that one of the things we must be in the habit of preparing is preparing our hearts in prayer. You know, for me, it's very easy for me when I take time in God's word. I usually do when I, right when I get to work, I try to take early time to spend with God. And I have so many different things that are clamoring for my time and attention. I have to separate that time out. But even more importantly, I find that aside from like the busyness that surrounds me, the hardest thing for me to do is to get my mind uncluttered and focused. And maybe you find yourself there. And one of the best habits for me is to begin by taking time to pray and just simply to walk through the things that are cluttered in my mind and to hand them to the Lord, to prepare my heart, to spend time with him, to receive his word, and to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me as I read his word. I believe that one of the great things that we can do is prepare our hearts in prayer when it comes to seeking more in our abiding in God's word. Thirdly, some people lack tools that would be so helpful when it comes to studying God's word. Many times people will say, you know, I read it, but I don't understand it. Or I read it and just feels like black letters on a white page. But there are so many tools that we can have at our disposal to be able to help us in the study of God's word and to learn. I think one of the best things to do is to begin with a good Bible translation. For me, if you were to ask me, you know that almost on a weekly basis, I use the ESV. I think it's not only one of the easy ones to read, but for me also, it is a great one that is a little bit more literal in its translation to the original text. And so you'll find me using that, the NASB, the NIV, something that is readable, something that you can study. But as well, I would encourage you, if you find yourself struggling to get into God's word, find a Bible reading plan that you can use, something that will help you along the way. There is a great resource that we actually have on our new church app. And when you go to the app, you'll see when the home screen pops up at the very bottom, there's a little button that says connect and then grow. And when you go there, there's a thing that says devotional. And there is a devotional that we have put on here that is called Mission 119. You'll see the website up on the screen. Mission 119 was actually written by a pastor in the Christian Missionary Alliance, Reverend Soper, and it is a great tool. It's one that I've even begun using that goes through and gives a couple of chapters a day to read in God's word, but then it also has a link that you can click, listen to somebody talk about the passage for about 5 to 8 minutes, and then it has a place for you to journal, and it asks you different questions. It is a great resource and a tool for those of you that say, I'd like to start, but I don't know where to begin. And finally, I would also say this, for some people, One good resource is also investing in commentaries that you can read along with the Bible. Now, I love doing this personally because I love digging into the context of Scripture. And you'll see one of my favorite ones that is up there, the Pillar Commentary. I also have a couple of people in the church that often will walk into my office and say, hey, can I borrow a commentary as I go through and I read through this book of the Bible in my own quiet and private time. The reason I actually encourage that is because it allows you to understand the context and then allows you to understand how to apply it to your life by reading this as a supplement as you read God's word. I would encourage you to make it a habit of it. Like I began years ago early in college where I would buy one commentary as I was working through a book of the Bible. I'd invest $25 and it has been one of the more enriching portions of my time of spending time in God's word. Lastly, I would say that one of the ways that we can get more, and one that is often neglected in the church and in the Christian life in general, is talking about what we are learning and what we are reading and studying with other people. I believe that it would do great for us as the body of Christ to talk more with our families about what God is teaching us as we study His Word. To encourage each other as we talk about reaching the next generation, of sharing with our children and sharing with other people what God is teaching us. Getting into a life group and taking time to share not only life together, but what God is teaching you, or getting into a Bible study, beginning to make a habit of talking about it, because as we talk about it, it takes deeper root in our hearts and in our lives. As I close this morning, I want us to answer this question: why is delighting in God's word so essential to a life of blessing? And we've touched on a number of these things this morning. The first thing is this, is because God's word is the means by which we know God. It's the way in which he has chosen to reveal himself to us. Secondly, because God's word is one of the primary ways by which he has spoken and continues to speak to his people. Hebrews 4, chapter 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." As we read God's word, he continues to speak into our lives. And ultimately, number three, God's word is one of the primary tools by which he transforms our hearts. And as you listen to the end of this psalm, the psalmist makes clear that the blessed person is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And what does he say about this person? He says, "For he is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And in all that he does, he prospers." When you listen to that verse, what does it sound like? He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, a tree whose roots are growing deep into the soil, receiving the water and the nutrients that are necessary to produce a fruitful crop. Do you recognize what that sounds like? John 15, when Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And then you will what? Bear much fruit." The reading of God's word is not just a rote activity that we do in order to be a better Christian or just simply to please God. It is the avenue by which we abide in Christ. And God speaks into our hearts and our lives to transform our hearts and make us into the people that he desires for us to be. Church, if we are ever going to get back to the place in this culture where we are experiencing the blessed life that God desires for us walking with him, then we must get back to that place of having a hunger and a desire to abide with God and to abide in his word. And it begins with a choice that says, "Lord, I choose you over everything else." Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for time in your word this morning, and I thank you for the time that we have over these next many weeks to talk about the spiritual disciplines. Lord, you have given them to us not as a rote activity, but as a means of relationship. And we confess to you that there are times, Lord, where we have placed priority and value on so many other things in this world aside from abiding with you and developing that relationship with you. At times we have put our stock in a prayer of salvation that we prayed maybe as a young child or as an adult, but we can confess as well that there hasn't always been a longing and a hungering and a desiring to be with you. And Lord, I pray that this morning, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would change that inside of our hearts, that you would develop within us a hunger to abide in you and to recognize that it's not about earning favor, but it's about allowing you to transform and change our hearts, to bring glory to you, but also that you would use us, Father, to impact and change the lives of other people. And so take us to a deeper place with you, God, as we submit and we abide with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
shouting your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
Church family, would you pray with me? God, thank you again so much for the time that we have had to gather here in your house and to worship you. Lord, you are so worthy and deserving of all of our worship, not just when we're gathered here, but every moment and every day of our lives. And so as we leave this place and we go out into the world, I pray, Father, that you would continue to build within us from our time here today a deeper hungering and desire to be with you and to abide with you. That, Father, you would take us to deeper places of intimacy with you. That, Father, we would see just how great and how awesome you are, and that the world would look as worthless as it truly is. That we would cling to you. And that, Father, as we do, that you would help us to experience all of the blessing that we have ever desired, to find our greatest fulfillment, our greatest security, our greatest joy, and our greatest hope walking with you, no matter what good or bad is happening in our life, knowing that, Father, you have our lives in your hands. And so, Lord, move in us this week. I pray over this congregation just that as they prioritize and choose to spend time with you, that you would take them to a deeper place of intimacy with you. For those that are struggling with where to begin, help them to begin to just take small steps and to feel your grace as they seek to abide in you. And for all of us, Father, as we spend time in your word, some of us here are doing it every single day, every moment of our lives. We feel like we got it together. But the truth is that we can very easily forget to allow your word to transform our hearts as we read it. And so keep us humble. Keep us in a position and a posture, Father, of hearing from you and allowing you to change and transform who we are to bring ultimate glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, use us in this week as we go. And I pray, Father, that you would give us a heart and a passion to continue to share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, with all that we would come in contact with. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple quick things before you go. One, as a reminder, thank you for your continued faithfulness in giving to our ministries. You can give your offerings and tithes at the back as you leave. Our prayer team is here this morning, and we have one of our elders that is here. If you would like prayer, we'd invite you to come forward, and he would love to take you to the prayer room where you can have that time together. Really important, please make sure, fathers, you do not forget to get your ice cream and root beer before you go home. But fourthly, next week, one service, 10:45, here at the church, outdoors, worshiping, and then enjoying a fantastic picnic together. Please invite your friends that need to know Jesus. We love you. Have a great week. See you soon.